we are joined in the studio by our guest today, Claire Wimmer. Welcome to the studio, Claire.
Kia ora.
And first time on regular community radio, is it?
Yes, it is. It's amazing.
It's exciting. Yes.
Been living here for 22 years and first time on the radio.
Welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
Yes, yeah. And I suppose, firstly, Claire, we're going to talk about permaculture and you know, lots of stuff like that as time goes by. But tell us a little bit about yourself first and things like that, I suppose.
Oh, well, I was born in the States on the East Coast and traveled around the world as a potter and eventually settled in Raglan 22 years ago, and now I'm an official New Zealand citizen.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. Took 20 years to do that.
Oh, well, when there was an election in the States, I decided, okay, it's time to become a citizen of New Zealand now.
All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I've been to your beautiful property out there in Waitatuna. And that's when you've been there 22 years, have you?
Or? Oh, no. I live, my family, my husband and my two sons, we lived on Taipari Avenue.
Okay, yeah.
For the first half of that, and then we bought the property out at Waitatuna.
Yeah.
And we're living there for 17 years.
Okay. And it's a lovely property. And your husband, of course, is engineer or
he's an architectural draftsman and a German master builder.
Yes.
So he built our house. It's half of clay, of course, because I'm a potter, and the other half is wood.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And beautiful. It's a thermal mass or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Concrete floor and all that.
Very large north facing clay walls. I don't know what that's probably about, 22 centimeters?
Something like that.
Yeah, 22 centimeters thick on the north-facing side, and then it's double-studded on the south-facing side with wool insulation, passive design with a concrete floor in the front where it captures the solar gain, basically.
Okay.
In the wintertime, the sun hits the walls because of the angle of the sun, and in the summertime, because of the way the eaves are designed, the sun just hits just barely at the door, so the clay walls remain cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds very well thought out. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah. Specific design. Specific permaculture design by David Wimmer.
All right. Okay. And was it a wetback kind of thing for the heating and things like that?
Oh, yeah. So we have a very, very large, it's a solar and wetback. So on the roof, we've got circulating water.
Mm.
And that heats up a very large tank, probably about four times the size of a New Zealand tank. And then in the wintertime when we have lots of rain, it's hooked up to our wood stove as a wetback.
Right.
So that provides both hot water and forced hot water radiators around the house.
Yeah.
But the design of the house is pretty much consistent 19 degrees all the time.
Right.
So it's a real comfortable living space, and that's kind of like without the wetback and the fire going. In the wintertime when it rains two or three days in a row, it's on the second day that we actually have to start the fire.
Right.
So it's quite sustainable when you're looking at just using the sun and wood to keep everything nice and comfortable.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And what is all the power for everything off the solar panels as well?
Yeah, well, we've got photovoltaic, and that was put in by Stendi.
Right.
Great company. Give them a little push.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the photovoltaic then powers the battery,
right.
And that keeps us through the night. But when we have really sunny days, then we plug in our electric car. So basically when it's sunny out, we charge the battery and we charge our car too on top of that. So we've for about seven or 8 years, we've had free travel according to the sun using a leaf.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got a lot of gardens and beds and things that are around the property as well. So is that both you guys are into that? Or
yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah.
So I think it probably would be a full-time job. David does maybe three quarters and I do one quarter.
Yeah.
We both have our defined roles.
All right.
He does trees and animals and I do raising seedlings and the kind of edible garden plants.
Right.
And then he does all of the, you know, the big wood pruning, making mulch, making compost. We make compost probably about 1 or 2 cubic meters a month.
Right.
So we're regenerating the soil there, which is a really primary focus of permaculture, of course.
Yeah.
And I am responsible for – I've got a beautiful greenhouse, which is also clay.
Yeah.
And I'm responsible for collecting seeds and germinating the seeds and raising the seedlings and planting them in the garden. And
okay, yeah, yeah. And so how long have you been an active seed saver, would you say?
I would say, well, we've owned the property for 17 years now, and I think that it would probably be 15 years that I've been an active seed saver.
Yeah.
I was inspired by Liz Stanway,
yeah.
Who is, of course, a big Frangaroa Environment Center member.
Yeah.
So she did a couple workshops way back, and I think WEC does a few workshops around seed saving. But she really inspired me to collect and save seeds, you know, for wherever I go, and, you know, mostly focused on heritage seeds or unique seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But also looking at seeds that are originally in our Wadatuna Valley, and also edible native seeds,
yeah,
to perpetuate and maintain the availability of those seeds to the Wadatuna community.
Yeah, right on. Okay. Yeah. And so there's a seed saving day. We'll talk about it now, I guess. Seed sorting day, I should say, coming up on this Sunday and Monday from 2:30 to 5:30. And I just had a look it up, and it's up at Belinda Goodwin's place up on Sunshine Rise. So anyone involved with Time Bank, get along to that. Or if you're not involved with Time Bank and want to get involved anyway, I guess drop me an email at Over the Fence Radio Show at gmail.com, or look on the Facebook page or something like that, and you'll find it somewhere, and come along and sort some seeds. And a few of those seeds are going to be yours, Claire?
Yeah. So yeah. Belinda's a fantastic seed saver. She's got she's got an urban garden and quite actively saving seeds herself. She also produces lots of nice tomato plants early springtime. And I'm looking forward to going visiting her. Mm. I'll be dropping some of my seeds off from last year's collection.
Mm.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to save each year. Also save a small reserve for, like, I'll take maybe 6 or 7 seeds out of that reserve before I hand it on, just to keep, just in case there's like 1 year, you know, the seeds aren't germinating, or yeah, it was a bad year. You always want to have a small reserve.
Yeah,
I've got a very large box of seeds. It's probably about...
So what are you showing me here? About a meter?
Meter by half meter.
Meter by half a meter?
Yeah.
Cubic. Solid steel, like, yeah, three inches thick or something like that?
No, it's just it's a plastic box, but it's green, so that you don't want your seeds to be exposed to the light.
Yeah.
And you want to keep them in a kind of a cool, dry place. So when I collect my seeds, I dry my seeds, of course, above the hot water tank,
yeah,
which is because the solar energy comes through there.
Yeah.
It's a good, dry place. I collect them, I separate them, and then I store them in actually my used Raglan roast bags, the Ziploc paper bags.
Ah, yes,
are really good to save your seeds. And then I put in, you know, those little silica packs that, you know, sometimes get food or whatever.
Mm.
Put the silica packs in there, and that helps. It keeps it, takes the moisture out of them,
right,
and maintains them. And then I put them in our, we've got a cellar, actual, you know, real cellar, and I maintain them in there for the summertime, because it's about 16 degrees in our cellar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And airtight's the way, eh?
Airtight, yeah. It would be good. Like, those Ziploc bags are really quite good. Previous to that, I was using coconut oil containers that were plastic and really airtight.
Right.
So you don't want bugs getting in there or anything to
eat them.
All
right. So it must be quite a passion of yours then, that.
It is. It's, yeah. I look at it in a form of wealth, okay? So, like, every seed that I'm collecting, I look at it like it's food resilient wealth. So every single seed I see is a potential plant that someone could eat. Yeah. Like I've collected brassica seeds that, you know, filled the bag, and thinking, oh my God, you know, all of these brassica seeds could fill, you know, everyone in the Waikato could have a plant from these brassica seeds. So it gets to be a bit of, what would you say the word would be, passion or addiction. Like I see seeds in my garden going, ooh, I've got to save that one. Ooh, I've got to save that one. So I go around and tie things with different colors, wool string, because we get a lot of interns that come through and people will go through and just hack and pull the things out. So I'm tying all these different colored yarns across the garden to make sure that people know that they're there for a purpose. You don't pull those ones out because those ones are specific that I save. And I've created little clay plaques.
Yeah.
So I know what seed that is and where it came from, like whether I got it from Setha Seeds or whether I got it from Kawanga Gardens, or kind of the whakapapa of the seed, which is also really important to me, knowing that those seeds have been handed down or cared for in a certain way and they come from, you know, the original rootstock, so to speak, stock, I guess.
Rootstock. Ah, cool. Yeah. And I know you've also been involved with the Permaculture Institute in New Zealand. You were chair last year, was it?
It's called Permaculture in New Zealand.
Permaculture in New Zealand.
Yeah. Right. So I've been providing service to them for, I think, about 8 years now. I was the bookkeeper, and then I became the treasurer, and then I became a co-chair, and then last year and the year before I was a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's brilliant organization. We put on a hui once a year, which we get between 150 and 200 participants in the hui.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of the big sea infiltration in the past couple of years, basically the COVID hit just at the time that we were planning our hui. We had it planned 2 years in a row in Whanganui, and that didn't happen. And then just it reared back up again. And so we're looking forward to next year. This year, because we're in 2023. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! In 2023, it's probably will be South Auckland, and 2024 looking at Eastern Bay of Plenty, Whakatane Way, possibly 2025 in Northland. So, so we're trying to kind of get the plan going for 3 years to get those. It's usually a volunteer group that put on the hui, so we're trying to kind of get everybody inspired to have at least a 3-year plan going out for a successful hui to happen.
All right.
We also have a website that hosts a lot of the permaculture in New Zealand events. We have PEG, which is the Permaculture Educators Guild. And they affiliate they look over permaculture teachers that want to be affiliated to PEG.
Right.
So, and then, you know, any other events that are happening around New Zealand.
Yeah, okay then. And how many members would you have, do you reckon,
we've run from 150 to about 300 since I've been involved with PINS.
Okay, yeah.
So it all kind of comes about with the hui, but I think we have a good hard 150, 200 members that are consistent with the organization, and then it fluctuates because if you become a member, of course, you get a discount to the hui, so it's kind of a benefit to becoming a member.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And there's a hui December just gone, wasn't there?
We had
10th and 11th of December at Tiuku, was it?
Tiuku Hall.
Tiuku Hall, right.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. So what we were looking at that permaculture hui was the principles of regenerative agriculture, syntropic gardening, and the Huakpatakota principles, and how they intersected and related to permaculture.
Interesting.
Some of the Komatua, the permaculture Komatua there. Yeah. Trish Allen, who is Joe Palacio's wife.
Right.
She had the Rainbow Farms up in Matakana.
Yeah.
And then we had Joe Purcell and Brian. Oh, I can't remember Brian's last name. They're from Caruna Falls.
Where's that one?
Caruna Falls is up in Coromandel. That's that's Meroki's grandparents.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they've got a real strong connection to Raglan.
Right.
We had Finn Mackesy there, who's relocated. He's from Auckland Permaculture Workshops. Yeah. He's actually relocated to Te Uku.
Oh, right.
Which is quite exciting. Yeah, he was there. He helped organize it. And we had James from Northland. Yeah, we had quite a diverse variety of people. We had who else do we have? A couple of Tangata Tefenua were there, and we had someone from Northland who was a specific syntropic gardener.
Yeah,
he was trained by the Lutz family that are in Northland.
Maybe just explain to the listeners what syntropic gardening is.
Yeah, so syntropic gardening is I guess the easiest way is designing it's more like food forest gardening. So it's designing rows of edible and non-edible companion plants at different growth stages, and really packing it in there. So it's creating kind of a very strong food forest.
Yeah.
Usually the rows are north-south facing. It was developed in and around the tropics.
Right.
So, but here people have used it on contour. Packing as much as you can in at all different levels to create that forest-like companioning and protecting the soil, and then in between the rows, that's where there would be cover crops that would be growing, and those cover crops then could be fodder for animals, so to speak. Yeah,
that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. And then we talked about the three waters and the from a permaculture perspective, and shared quite a lot of knowledge around. What is it called? Those money banks or the savings pools?
Oh, right. Yeah,
Joe and Brian are into savings pools. They started those up. Yeah. It was really great. We used what's called open space technology. So whoever came created different topics to discuss, or lead topics, or have kind of open conversations, and the whole 2 days was planned out in that open space technology, which sometimes is uncomfortable for the people who really like to know exactly what's coming up when.
Yeah.
But this open space was it's more of a creative design, permaculture design, to, you know, whoever comes, those are the people who come. Whatever they bring and whatever they want to talk about that's kind of appropriate for the day. And we got through quite a lot of topics and had great food, of course, everybody.
Yeah.
Cohod food, and we all cooked together. And
okay.
We had, because the group was so small, we ended up all coming back to my house for dinner and some wine. So it was really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds really diverse, what you covered, didn't they?
It was incredible.
Is there any videos or anything where people can have a look back on from the events? Or
The PINS group, Permaculture in New Zealand, got most of the material for that.
Right.
So once they get through their summer session, possibly it might be up on it's called Permaculture in New Zealand.
Right.
Or pins.org.nz.
Right, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So there we are. So yeah, might be able to check out things there. And, that's interesting. I didn't even hear about that one, but that's probably me not being on Facebook and a few other things. Not in the loop.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the loop, obviously, Claire.
We had posters downtown. We had, we put it up on the Raglan Permaculture Facebook page. Quite often. There's, I think, 322 members of that page.
That's quite a lot.
It is quite a lot. For this little town, it's like, wow. So it would be really great if those people who are really interested in permaculture would either, you know, come into WEC, because the Fungro Environment Center has...
which is right next door here in the town hall, folks.
Exactly. Yep. I can see the door right there.
Yep.
They follow permaculture practices throughout the organization. And also a lot of the members and the people who work through WEC are very au fait. And Rick and Liz, they used to do permaculture PDC courses.
Yes.
So either look into WEC or look at the Raglan Permaculture page. There's lots of
Raglan
people.
Raglan Permaculture Facebook page. Yes.
Raglan Permaculture Facebook page. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's quite a lot of conversations going on. People share seeds on there. People share plants. We're trying to get kind of more of a local vibe. People really kind of getting more active. And that's what permaculture in New Zealand, the national organization, really wants to support and encourage local groups such as ours to connect and share and be support for one another. There was a Kaiaranga course that came out to the Marae, which I took a couple of years ago, and then they came up to Poihakina and had that last year or the year before, which is a permaculture through a Māori lens.
It was quite a
eye-opener for me, and it was great to be involved in that. So there's all different, and the Huapara Kore, which is producing a pure product, so that's kind of like the Māori organic organization. So
right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And you were saying before, yeah, you've always been interested in clay and pottery in that, and I was at your place here the other day, and I want to say, it's not Ola, but it's Ola or something like that.
Oya.
So explain to folks what these are.
Yeah, so an Oya is a permeable irrigation system.
Mm-hmm.
They were developed in arid countries. It's an ancient technology. Basically, it's a clay vase that will slowly release water into the soil, and then you plant your short, like your lettuces around the neck, and then your larger, deeper plants, such as tomatoes and peppers, around the circumference of that. The lettuces like to grow in the shade, so it's companion for that. And the perfect oya would have a 10 to 15% porosity. So it literally slowly releases water into the soil. And during, for the past 3 years, I've been doing a research study on the proper clay, the proper firing temperature, the best position. What I'm finding is those people who have raised beds, I've got raised beds at my place.
Yeah.
It works best in raised beds rather than in the soil, because our soil is mainly clay.
Yes.
You know, so we've got nice big, 30 centimeter topsoil, but underneath that's mainly clay.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a comparison study with 45 tomato plants, half on oyas and half not on oyas.
Yeah.
They produced the same amount of tomatoes. The benefit was a 50 to 70% reduction in the use of water where we're using the oyas rather than top watering, because top watering, most of the water will evaporate out. But
that's significant, isn't it?
It is. It's very significant. There's a couple books you can get at the library about the Oya irrigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And in the raised beds, I have got very 3 meter long by 1 meter wide raised beds. Half of them I put oyas in and the other half I didn't to see what the difference was. And you could see that on the oya side, everything was green and lush, especially your watermelons, your peppers, cucumbers, all of those plants that really like to have moist soil all the time. Booming on that side. On the other side, it was kind of like last year in that big drought. So I've decided to spend the time in the winter. I created probably 40 oyas and put them all in my raised beds just to prepare for this coming summer to have enough food,
Organized.
Well, yeah, a little bit organized sometimes. So I do workshops, The clay, I started with clay a long time ago when it's just, you know, out of college and needed something to do when my boyfriend and I broke up. So I decided to go to the local art center in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I was a volunteer, and they said, oh, well, after you're volunteer, you can go downstairs and play in the clay studio. Yeah. So I went downstairs and started to play with clay there, and then moved to Maine, where I went to the Portland School of Art.
Right.
And developed more clay experience there. And that led me to actually New Zealand, because my mentor at the Portland School of Art had been in New Zealand 7 years before that.
Yeah.
So I went and worked with the Lairds, which they set up the Crown Lynn and Tomuka pottery.
Oh, yes,
so they
yes.
were the family that set that up, and I got to go and, I don't know, at that time, I guess it would be called volunteering or work exchange. They couldn't hire me because I didn't have a working visa, so I said, oh, well, you know, I'll do all the grunt works, and then, you know, we'll do a bit of woofing. It would be like, you know, clay woofing. So I went
and
did some work, and then I got free access to clay and the kilns and everything, and then traveled around the world as a potter. And eventually, well, when I was in Nelson with the Lairds, I met David there, and then we ended up meeting up all around the world, and I traveled as a potter around the world and kind of learned different skills and techniques.
Yeah.
And then came back and did the Dunedin School of Art, a distance program through the Waikato Society of Potters.
Right.
And, I set up the community pottery, the original community pottery, you know, what is it, 20 years ago behind the old school.
Helped
facilitate that with funding and you know, digging the foundation with a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And and now it's just incredible. They've got a brand new building there, and they're doing awesome work. I was just talking to Sarah Bing this morning.
Right.
They've got something coming up, I think, a clay thing in January on the weekend.
Yes.
Over anniversary weekend, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to be interviewing her about that at some stage as time goes by. Yeah.
Being on the Arts Council for a while, but after moving out to Waitatuna, it was kind of like, you know, I set up my own studio, and I have kind of this group of people that come out and come to my classes. I've got also people, I usually advertise through either the fermentation group or Permaculture New Zealand, so that because my work is kind of focuses around sustainable practice, like the oyas, and then making live food with fermentation pots, around gardening and labeling your fruit trees. So I do workshops on people labeling their fruit trees, on, you know, what fruit tree they have and when it fruits, and the pollinators too, so that they're all around my property, so I don't have to remember anything. Everyone goes, oh, what kind of tree is that? I go, oh, just go look on the little pottery sign. It'll tell you everything about it, so I don't have to store that information in my head.
Yeah. Okay. Fermentation is where you get a lot of interesting hobbies and interests,
Well, live food is really good. It's good for your gut, and they say that, you know, your gut.
It's like sauerkraut and kombucha and these sorts of things, I suppose.
Kombucha, definitely. I just made kombucha this morning. Big batch of it. I think for a fizzy drink, it's really good. If you second ferment it with some type of cordial, we make cordial from our fruit on our property. So we make grape juice and apple cider and plum juice, peach juice. So I second ferment my kombucha, which kind of gives it a little bit of a fizz to it, adds a little bit of sweetness to it. I think a little tiny bit of alcohol is produced, but not a lot. And that's what I usually kind of feed to the people that come to my pottery course. So they not only make clay, cool clay stuff, but they get to drink some of the nice kombucha.
Lucky them.
Yeah, and then there's kimchi that you can make, and so the kraut, the fermentation pots that I make, I've developed a system that people can make theirs in a day with a little bit of support, embellish it in what they want it to look like on the outside, and then I end up I finish by glazing it for them, and then they come back and pick them up.
Right.
Quite a few people from the area have done that, and they're getting back to me now going, oh, yeah, I just put a load of kimchi in. And yeah, so it's really quite nice to kind of share that healthy, you know, regenerative and sustainable lifestyle that we have out there. And just give people the – I mean, I would do a sauerkraut making workshop, you know, in the – it would be in the springtime after all of the cabbages have blossomed and stuff. Jono was supposed to come out for one of those.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So these workshops where can we find out more information about whatever you got cooking out there?
Yeah. So I've got a it's a Facebook page. It's called Pottery and Permaculture in Waitatuna.
Pottery and Permaculture in Waitatuna.
Yeah, and there's a kind of a picture of me holding a couple pots up of a very young me.
All right, yeah.
But I still think that, you know, I look like that. I don't look at myself in the mirror so much, so I still think that I'm about 35.
Yeah. And you're actually 36 now.
Yeah, only 36. And, yeah, so I post all of the workshops that I do on that page. They're very small groups, so I usually only have between 6 and 8 people, so I can have that focused attention on developing those people's skills.
Yeah.
Also looking at giving them that expansion area where they can develop their own creativity,
mm-hmm.
and guiding them with technical know-how, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that sounds exciting. So it's Pottery and Permaculture in Waitatuna. There we are. So, and you were saying earlier, maybe February you might be doing some stuff. Maybe.
Yeah, so my son is a competitive freeride skier.
Right.
And we're headed off for 3 weeks to Canada.
Nice.
And we're going to catch up with some of his teammates.
Right.
Yeah, so I would have started it already next week, but we're rocking out to do a bit of skiing. But in February, March, April, I'll start I teach Thursday evening sessions.
Okay.
And then weekend workshops.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll do a Tuesday evening session if there's enough people to jump on. But I'd like to keep the classes very small so I can really focus on each person's development.
Right on.
Mm.
You do like garden tours around the property and things like that as well?
Oh, garden tours. Oh, we do. Actually, we do. What do we do? We do biochar evening bring-a-plate dinners.
Biochar evening bring-a-plate dinners.
Yeah, it's quite fun.
Right.
Where David creates biochar for the garden.
Yeah.
Garden tours, we haven't gotten into that yet. Actually, someone who just asked me about that today, a friend came and visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that once I retire, which is going to be fairly soon, maybe the next 3 or 4 years, we'll start looking at garden tours. But I was talking with Finn Mackesy, who's the Auckland Permaculture Workshops person. Since he's moved down here, there might be a possibility of permaculture classes coming up.
Right on.
Like introduction or PDCs, but that's kind of like that's in conversation now.
Yeah, in the motion maybe. And I guess that'll be on the permaculture, regular permaculture page and stuff like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've given us a lot of resources here today, Claire.
No problem.
A lot of cool and interesting things. What is it? We better wrap it up.
Okay.
I think Prince Harry might be coming in soon. So thanks very much for coming in, Claire. Really appreciate that. That's a guy, Prince Harry. I've not heard of him. Prince Harry from Raglan. He's a DJ. Works at Papahua. He's a permacultural enthusiast too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should wait and have a chat with him.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
Thanks very much for coming in, Claire.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited after 22 years of being here, actually being on the radio.
Being on the radio.
Woohoo.
And I'm going to get you in again. Okay. When you come back from Canada.
Yeah.
Once you get some dates and things sorted out for these classes, pop in. We'll have another chat if you like.
I'll send them to your special events page.
What's on guide, things like that. Yeah.
What's on guide seems what's like on guide. The place to go to find out what's going on in Raglan.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Kia ora.
All right. Kia ora. Thank you very much, Kevin and Claire. Really appreciate it.
Sweet.
Enjoy Canada.
I will.
All right.